Call this meeting to the Labor and Industry to order. Today is the 12th of January. Start out with, we've got, and Brian Dan is here, we've got a quorum, so we can start up the meeting. And start out with Brian, Representative Daniels. You weren't here. We kind of went around and introduced ourselves. Go ahead, and then we'll proceed with our business.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. I appreciate that. I'm sorry I missed the first one, and this is a much better place than I was on Tuesday, so I'm thankful to be here. Had a little health issues, but on the road to recovery. And Brian Daniels from Faribault, and this will be my ninth year serving at the House. And I've been in most education committees for the last 8 years, and this is my first time on labor, and I'm really looking forward to the committee and a lot to learn, and hopefully I'll have a little bit of input. I have owned and operated a business of our family business, and I have managed three other businesses through my career, and I enjoy it. It was really fun for 40 years. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. With that, Representative McDonald, did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
Let's see, Mr. Chair, I did, and I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Representative McDonald made a motion to approve the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have our minutes approved. It's been a while since we've been here. Got to get back in the swing of it. First, the bill we have, or the only bill we have on the agenda today, is House File 36, Representative Greenman. And as she's walking up there, members, we have a fiscal note, and this is going to be referred to the Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Committee. We have a fiscal note that came in yesterday. The numbers we have to change in the bill, but Representative Greenman, if you want to make your motion to refer this to the Judiciary Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make the motion to move House File 36 to be re-referred to Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Committee.
The bill's before us now. And we have to do a verbal amendment, oral amendment, to change the numbers on the appropriation on page 4.18, and I think you have that written out. And
I do, Mr. Chair. Should I offer the oral amendment? I know that there is some conversation.
Why don't you offer the amendment, then we'll have Ms. Helen, Ms. Roberts speak to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make an oral amendment to House File 36, page 4, line 18, to delete $760,000 and insert $240,000, and then delete $50,000 and insert $218,000.
And you'll give us that piece of paper when you're done, but does everybody understand what we're doing here? Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, could she repeat that again?
Yes. Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenman.
Representative McDonald, do you want me to also give you the, I can actually give you it in writing if you want. But on page 4, line 18, delete $760,000 and insert $240,000 and delete $50,000 and insert $218,000.
And Ms. Roberts, if you want to explain that on.
Mr. Chair, members, just the clarification on line 4.18, the first number deleted is $76,000.
Okay.
And to explain, taking the numbers from the fiscal note, you're going to want to look at the second page of the fiscal note. And you'll see identified under number one, expenditures, there's where you're getting the $240,000 and the $218,000. This is the estimated cost from DLI. And then I would also track offsetting revenues of $40,000 per year, which, so the net cost would be $200,000 and $176,000 going forward. So that's, the net numbers are what you see on the first page of the fiscal note, but the numbers needed for the appropriation are the expenditure numbers on the second page.
Question, members. to make sure everyone's got it clear as mud.
Clear as mud, yeah.
Questions? If not, all in favor of the amendment to put the bill in the fashion that the author wants, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Representative Greenman, please present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. I'm grateful to be here to be able to present House File 36 today. It's a bill that protects worker safety in Minnesota's warehouses with a common sense requirement that companies notify workers of any quotas they're expected to meet and provide workers with access to that data on how they're performing. For members who were here last session, you may remember hearing this bill, the powerful testimony of Amazon warehouse workers who are pleading with us to protect their health and safety in these warehouses. The bill passed off the House floor with bipartisan support, but didn't make it in the Senate. This year, we're going to hear again from those workers, from many workers describing their experiences. Working grueling hours, relentless pace with a quota set by algorithms that treats them like robots, not human beings. And the problem is getting worse. With the new data we've seen since 2021, we've seen injuries have actually risen 10% from the already staggering numbers. In a minute, you're going to hear directly from those workers, firsthand from their experience, and I hope you'll listen to their stories about the need for this bill. It's an opportunity to learn about the practices and models that are leading to these exorbitantly high injuries and astronomical worker turnover. And it's an opportunity to learn how we can act with a provision that requires transparency and information so workers can keep themselves and their coworkers safe. All Minnesota workers deserve to be safe and respected at work, no matter where you work, who you work for, or what your background is. But here in Minnesota, that is not the experience with many workers in Amazon's warehouses. Instead, they report being forced to work under intense electronic surveillance at a grueling pace with threats of discipline. Workers push themselves to the brink to meet quotas and quote-unquote time-off task measures, which are often changing and sometimes not even disclosed to those workers. Workers report not being able to have enough time to take breaks, to eat, use the bathrooms, prayer breaks, things that are legally required for them, and the relentless pace, because of the relentless pace and the size of these warehouses. As the National Employment Law Project report shows, and we talked about that last year, I think that there's in your packet the updated report. The injury rate at Amazon warehouses is 1.5 times the injury rate of non-Amazon warehouses in Minnesota and three times the rate of injury of all other private industry. The data is alarming, and workers' experiences and listening to them is even more alarming. They describe a harmful culture of surveillance and discipline practices, a model. If workers can't meet those quotas, they don't keep pace, they're penalized or they're fired. And they're in place replaced with new workers. And the cycle, the churn in and out at a rate nearly twice as high as other Minnesota warehouses, that starts all over again. So when we talk about worker turnover, it is a place where we're seeing because of the model. When we as lawmakers hear from workers, we hear reports of abuse, we hear places where 1 in 10 workers are getting injured, it's time for us to ask questions, to take notice, to listen to workers, and to act. And that's what this bill does. This warehouse worker safety bill, House File 36, is a modest bill affecting a big problem. It helps keep workers safe. It does it in a couple of ways. It simply allows warehouses to notify workers of any quotas they could be disciplined or fired if they fail to meet. And then it allows workers to have access to that data. It protects workers' existing legal rights to ensure that any quota performance standard won't interfere with their rights to take breaks, have a meal, use the restroom, or pray. And it gives the Department of Labor and Industry the ability to enforce these provisions by opening up an investigation into any company with an injury rate 30% higher of the average for warehouses, and it ensures workers have the power to enforce this provision on their own. This legislation ensures that workers have the information they need to keep themselves and their colleagues safe. With that, Mr. Chair, I think I'll turn it over to you. I believe we have a few testifiers or a set of testifiers.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. First we have is a video from Irene Tung. You want to play that? Get that one out of the way first.
Good afternoon. Thank you to Chair Nelson and the committee for the opportunity to offer recorded testimony today. My name is Irene Tung. I'm a senior researcher and policy analyst at the National Employment Law Project. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan research and advocacy organization specializing in employment policy. I'm testifying in support of HF 36, which would provide critical regulation of the growing warehouse industry in Minnesota. Over the last 3 years, I've studied Amazon's workplace practices across the country, including in Minnesota, and I'm the lead author of a report published in 2021 on the wide-ranging human costs of Amazon's presence in Minnesota. Since that report was published, we now have access to new data showing that things have gotten even worse at Amazon in Minnesota. Between 2020 and 2021, injuries actually rose 10% at Amazon in Minnesota, including at the Shakopee Fulfillment Center, which already had astronomically high rates of injury. Minnesota Amazon workers are injured at a rate equivalent to more than one injury for every 10 full-time workers. That's more than 1.5 times the rate of non-Amazon workers in warehousing and logistics in Minnesota, and 3 times the rate of other private sector workers in Minnesota. I can't emphasize enough that the injuries we are talking about here, serious muscle strain injuries caused by rapid repetitive motions without sufficient recovery time, are not only painful, but are often disabling and can stay with workers their entire lives. All of these injuries were serious enough to require medical attention, but the vast majority, 89%, were cases so severe that workers could not continue performing their normal job duties and had to either be transferred or take time off work to recover. As regulators such as Washington State OSHA have noted, the high rates of injuries at Amazon are directly attributable to the way that the company manages its workforce. It's Amazon's obsession with speed, enforced through a combination of intensive electronic surveillance and frequent discipline, that has created this injury crisis for workers. Amazon fosters a climate of fear in which workers have to push their bodies to the brink or risk losing their jobs. And when Amazon temporarily suspended these policies in 2020, injury rates went way down, showing that these injuries are 100% preventable. Passing HF 36 is a crucial first step to addressing the harmful management practices at Amazon. Most importantly, this bill establishes transparency in quotas and prohibits employers from using quotas to prevent workers from taking rest breaks as provided for under state law. I urge you to support this important legislation. Thank you for your attention and consideration, and I'd be happy to answer any questions by email. My email address is itung@nelp.org. Thank you.
I'd normally say thank you, but she's not here, so we'll move to the next. I have a Kali Yama. And I'm not sure, I know we have an interpreter ready. If you want, you can pull one of the chairs.
If not need, for me, for the others.
Yeah. Okay, if you need an interpreter, yeah, we can pull the chair up from the
Thank
table
you.
For the interpreter. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, and then you can proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Kali Jama. I work for Amazon. That is my second job that I work there. I'm here to testify of what I experienced through where I work at. So working at Amazon, I thought it was the safe place to work at until I started working there. What I noticed, majority of the people that hired or work in Amazon, especially my shift, lack of English. A lot of them don't understand their rights, their laws. So when I first start having issues, I work and I start going to a place called MCARE, where they really don't do much for you. They just tell you, hey, take this painkiller or anything, which I got scared is they offered me a painkiller, not asking me if I had any allergies or any of that. Like, I speak the language and I can speak for myself, but there's others who don't understand, who literally been in this country for 30 days, who got hired through Amazon. So my fight is the TOT, the time of task, and the rates. So like the lady said, most of the injuries come from that speed. If you're not on a certain speed, the manager will come and talk to you. If you're still not on that speed that they want you to be, they'll come and talk to you the second time, the third time, you get right up, and you're fired through our app. You don't even know. No one tells you anything. You come to work, you can't get in because you've already been fired because your rate's been low. And sometimes the workload is crazy when you work 10-hour shift 4 days. And recently we had to work 12 hours, 5 days, whether we like it or not. And if we did not work those 12 hours, they will fire you. You didn't have no other option. Unless you're ill, you have a doctor from a note from the doctor, or you have a good reason of not coming in. I got sick the beginning of the winter. During October, I got a bad flu. I was at work. I still came in. I had a fever. I came in because whoever I spoke to could not do anything for me because I did not have a thing called personal time or unpaid time or vacation. I didn't have any of them because I've been using it days, coming in a little bit late. So when I got really sick, I was severe and coughing. So I went to the manager and said, I don't feel good. I feel lightheaded. I'm really sick. I cannot continue to work another 6 hours, and I don't have any time. The managers tried, but they didn't have no power. They said their hands were tight. Go to the HR. We went to the HR. She said, there's nothing I can do. So I literally made a comment. I said, what does it take for me to get a day off? To faint? To collapse? And the lady was like, whatever it takes. So I walked out of the job, went to the urgent care because I wasn't feeling good. My fever was really high. When I went there, they told me I could not come back to work unless I had a doctor note. So unless you have a doctor note or you have certain things, with Amazon, they don't care. And the crazy part for me is you don't get to talk to people. You get to deal with app that tells you what to do or not to do. And if you get sick today and call Amazon and say, I can't come in, they tell you do a leave of absence, which they don't reply to for another 72 hours. So that's how a lot of people lose their jobs. Because when people don't understand their rights and don't know what they're doing, and you apply for this thing expecting, oh, they're going to come back to me and understand why I didn't go to work today. No. The next thing you know is, oh, you are fired. Thank you very much, but you have been terminated. For the past week, they fired over 25 people. Every single night I go in there, someone get fired because of their TOT, time of task, rate, or negative of no hours. If you come in, they give you 1 hour. Let's say you're late 1 minute. They take the whole hour away from you. So they give us 10 minutes each shift, or 10, 15, 30 every other day. So if I work 40 hours a week, and let's say I'm feeling some type of illness or muscle ache, because it is a load of work, they want you to make 250 per hour, you know? And some of those loads are huge. You know, as me, I experienced, because I've been on the floor working there as a stowing and as a water spider, and there's too many going on. And when you have questions, when you want to leave, you don't have no one to talk to, no managers, no PA. I always say, what's the point of having an assistant or a manager that you cannot talk to who, when you go to them, oh, my hands are tight, there's nothing I can do. You go to the HR, oh, there's nothing I can do. Go to the app. This lady doesn't speak English. She can't read and write. You hired her, but she doesn't know what she needs to do. You don't have a Somalian translators. You have any other translator. Now they start bringing, because I've been pushing it, calling me troublemaker. I don't care, but I've been pushing it, saying we need translators in our shift. The 3-day shift have 4 to 5 Somalians, but the 4-day shift does not have it. So my fight here today is the TOT and the MCARE that does not do anything for you, because when I went there, they would not even let me rest unless my back was broken or had an injury. The fact that I had a fever didn't matter to them. Wow. You know, my fever was 99. And what I found out was when I called my job last week, I said, I need the report, the incident report from the 2 weeks ago that I went in. They didn't have it. They said they don't have no record of me going to MCARE, which is crazy to me. How could you not have a report when I was arguing with you guys for 1.5 hours to go home? So I ended up leaving because I knew my rights. But these people were afraid to lose their jobs because they will go and put that fear on them, you know. So people won't even be able to go to the bathrooms. Like, I went to go and pray, and they say, oh, you've been on TOT for what? I have 91 minutes through my 10-hour shift. how do I have a TOT? If you put me in certain station where I work at, it takes 7 minutes to walk to the bathroom. Each floor has two bathrooms. It's 20 stations. So when this is busy, you go to the next one, minutes adds up. They do not care. They usually say, you can leave if you want. You don't have to be here. And that's not fair. As hard as we work, as precious, we work under hard pressure, manage as PAs. We come every day, you're afraid to get right up that you don't even know why you would get right up for. So I fight for my community who does not speak good English. I try to translate. I go around and say, if you need help, come to me. So it will be super important if you guys support us with this bill, because Amazon is just literally abusing the people who work there. Every Sunday we have new workers. You hear someone got fired because of a personal time or TOT. So I really appreciate it for you guys listening to me, and thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. The next person I have on my list is Mohammed Hassan Farah. And I hope I didn't butcher that too badly. And if you. Please introduce yourself for the tape and then proceed with your testimony.
Mohammed Farah Hassan. My name is Mohammed Farah Hassan. Sir, my name is Mohammed Hassan Farah.
Mohammed Farah Hassan.
Mohammed Farah Hassan. Hanu Shaqiya, Amazon Warehouse.
And sir, can you lean in when you do the interpreting so we can hear you on the tape?
Hanu Shaqiya, Amazon Warehouse in Shakopee. I work in Amazon Warehouse in Shakopee. This is my seventh year working there. I want to talk about the injuries. This is my second time being injured on the job. The work is very heavy, heavy load. We work with high speed. The reason we got injured is because of the workload and the speed, the pace. Because of those two reasons, it is not safe for us to work there. The concern is the load of the weight, which is very heavy, and the speed that we have to perform the job. The second issue is that we don't have guarantee. You could work there 10 years or 1 month. You could get terminated easily without a notice. So we worry a lot about losing our job. The concern is the safety because of the injuries we had, and there is nothing, there's no policy that prevents us from getting injury. When you get injured on the job, they will send you to the M care. They will stay there for a few minutes. They will put some eyes on you, and then they will send you. So we have to work to support our family. We have rents to pay, family to care for, so we need a job. When we report the injury, they will send us, they will refer us to a doctor that they have. They will send us to their clinic. When they send you to their clinic, they will visit, they will check you for a few days, then they will tell you, go back to work, you are fine. We get back to the work, we still have the same pain, the same injury, nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
waxaan ka codsanayaa haddii aad tihiin congresskii stateka aan dooranay annagu arrintaas inaad si
The load is too heavy. The speed we work is very, very high speed. Therefore, we ask you to pass the bill as a legislator. We hope that you pass this bill. This is what I have to say today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time. The next person I have on my list is Vera Kale. I hope I said that correctly. And again, please introduce yourself for the tape and then proceed with your testimony.
My name is Barakale Muhammad.
First of all, I want to greet you and thank you for your time. He said, I work for Amazon recently. I started working there. There's a lot of people that work at the Amazon. The primary issue is that the TOT, when you go to bathroom or you want to go to pray, they will write you up for TOT. They told us if you get write up a couple of times, you will be fired. You will be terminated. Said we have to work, I have to provide for my family, pay a rent, support my family, so I need to get a job, I need to work. Said I worked before in another warehouse and I have not experienced the same pressure as I experienced with the Amazon. The Amazon, they pressure you to work very hard and very speedy. There's also an element of racism in the warehouses that they will target you because of your color of the skin and where you, from your origin. So there's an element of racism. They have their internal policies that they enforce, but there should be another policy that guide them, that oversee them. Said as an employee, we ask that they should be held accountable, and they should raise our payment, the hourly pay, and they should care about the safety. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time and for listening to me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming forward. The next person I have on my list is Liddell Roberts. Welcome to the committee. And again, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Liddell Roberts. I am a 23-year Teamster formerly employed at a Sysco food service in Moundsville, Minnesota. Sysco distributes food to hotels, restaurants, and healthcare facilities. I have worked in many departments at Sysco Warehouse, including order selecting, forklift operator, and I was also a driver. I am very familiar with the quota system and warehouse work. My employer called them the system there production standards. I have worked on a production standard for many years. What is important to understand is that production standards I worked under is clear and transparent. For an example, when picking an order of groceries, the computer will tell you that the pallet contains 63 cases. You will go to 49 different locations, and you will have 15 minutes and 45 seconds to complete the task. After completion, I will go to the computer and enter my next pallet. The computer will tell me it took me 16 minutes, so you are running a little behind your standard. This allows me to adjust my speed and still, while doing so, able to be working safely. If you would never know how well you are doing, then you will continue to push yourself harder and harder until you get hurt. I believe and I hope that you all can agree with me that work shouldn't hurt. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. We'll take questions after the end. I've got just one more, so if you want to hang around, we'll go if we have any questions. The next person they have is Ricky Schreiner. Welcome to the committee, and then again, state your name for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Hello, my name is Ricky Schreiner. I'm a 22-year Teamster and UPS veteran. I guess you could say I'm a bit of a professional warehouse worker. Warehouse work has a unique set of safety challenges to address to keep people safe and successful while on the job. UPS has proven that a company can provide not only appropriate safety measures and training, but also a committee for employees to voice their safety concerns, and they still remain one of the most, if not the most, successful shipping company. I am disheartened when I hear, or when I read or talk to Amazon employees. They are not afforded the same protections or opportunities that I am. Amazon's policy of churn and burn treats people as disposable resources to be used, abused, and tossed aside. Amazon has the ability and the means to provide a safe environment for people who work hard every day to make them the trillion-dollar company that they have become, and they would still remain one of the most profitable companies to ever exist. Working at UPS allows me the security and the protection to pursue the American dream and be a productive member of my community. I truly believe the success of any business or society, for that matter, correlates directly to the livelihood, health, and happiness of its people. It's time for Amazon and other companies like it to treat its employees as they should be treated, with respect, dignity, and as the foundation of their success. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schreiner. Questions from the members? Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We heard this bill, I think it was last year, Representative Olson, and we heard similar testimony, and I appreciate the testimony. Well, first and foremost, anyone that has ever received a package from Amazon, I think are very grateful for those who work at Amazon and do the work necessary to sometimes get a package within the same day. That's a miracle. I don't know how you do it. You order it today in the morning, it comes at night. It's amazing. It's a miracle, in my opinion. So thank you for your hard work. We wouldn't be a country, wouldn't be a successful Minnesota without you working hard. And Amazon is a big part of our lives today. I suggest we call the owner. What's his name? Maybe he's in outer space. It sounds like he's failing his duties as the richest man in the world for the people that's working for him. Now, the testimony of those who worked at Cisco and others, the Teamsters, they seem to be doing the job right and care about their employees. The problem seems to be just with Amazon. But furthermore, since we heard this bill, I'd like to know, where has the Department of Labor and MN OSHA been? Perhaps they've done something or done some investigation since then. It's been over a year now since we've heard this bill. The same concerns from those who are treated not very respectfully at one particular company, when this particular bill could really affect hundreds of companies that are doing the right job and treating their employees like human beings and like they care about them. I'm aware that Amazon has some really big changes they have to do for their people. So my question is this, from OSHA. If you go to the Minnesota Labor and Industries website and look up their mission, they have some great missions. And their mission is because of lawmakers like you and me and years before us, Republicans and Democrats, came together to come up with legislation that would help the workers and improve the quality of life. So I want to know if the Department of Labor and Industry or Minnesota OSHA, commissioners and representatives are here today, and what are they doing since we heard this testimony? It's the same testimony that we heard a year ago. And I'll just read to you what labor and industry, if you go to their website, says. Through outreach, education, and compliance efforts, our agencies strive to improve the quality of life for Minnesota workers and their families and their communities. If they're not doing the job that we lawmakers have put into the books for this company, this organization to do, this commission, then where there's a failure somewhere, Mr. Chairman. So is anyone from the Department of Labor and Industry or MOSHA or maybe the Representative Olson can address this? I see the failure in
Representative Greenman.
Oh, Greenman, yes, I'm sorry. I knew that Representative Greenman, but I just spoke wrong. Thank you, Representative Greenman. So perhaps you could address that, or if there's the commissioner in the audience that could talk to this.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative and Lead McDonald. And let me start with, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate the conversation that we had a year ago or 10 months ago. And also that when we talk about, it's not just any company, it's a $216 billion company that I think we can all agree is changing the way that, as you describe, packages are delivered. It's changing the way and impacting businesses. It's impacting work, the way things work. And it's actually a relatively innovative model. So when we think about it, we say it is not just targeting. Right now, it is the problem that we see at Amazon because of their technology, because of the surveillance you heard about. But it is something that we are quite worried about spreading to other warehousing industries. So what we are talking about is not just Amazon. We are talking about a safety standard for the whole industry. And I will just start, and our OSHA director is here. But what I want to say is the last time we actually updated our OSHA standards on anything as it relates to a specific industry thing was 2007 and the Safe Patient Handling Standard. When we see a problem that is new because of technology, because of things are working, we actually, as lawmakers, it's our obligation to not just wait until individuals report complaints and get hurt. 1 in 10 workers with injuries that are quite serious. It is our job to say, what can we do in the law to change and prevent these injuries? And that's what this bill does. This bill says we actually need a standard that prevents people from getting hurt. That's our job. And I think that we do have OSHA Director Kruger here, but what this bill does is actually address a problem that we as the legislature, we as policymakers, haven't addressed because it's a relatively new problem that we've seen. I think Amazon's been in Minnesota for the past 6 or 7 years.
And Representative Greenman, this Representative McDonald mentioned that we heard this bill last year, but to my understanding, it did not get crossed the finish line. It did not get signed into law by the governor. Am I correct at that?
Yep, that's right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Greenman. Although we have much improvement to do to our agencies and the health and safety, but again, I'll read that from the OSHA, that their main mission is to protect the workers and the safety of workers in public and private work sites. So I'd like to hear from Dolly if they're here and hear from their testimony, what have they have done since we've heard this bill to make sure that our workers are safe and the complaints are being heard by the good workers?
Is there somebody here from OSHA? I think DLI is testifying in the Senate right now. Unfortunately, Representative McDonald, Senate Labor Committee meets at the same time as we do, so we're going to run into this all session long with not having access to everybody when we need it. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the table.
Sure. My name is James Kruger. I'm the Director of OSHA Compliance here for the state of Minnesota.
You heard Representative McDonald's question, or do you want him to repeat it?
No, if you're okay, Mr. Chair, I can respond. Minnesota OSHA, if you don't know, is a state plan state, so we enforce the standards here in the state of Minnesota. We do that with roughly 50 people. We cover all industries across the entire state. That includes agriculture, maritime, general industry, construction. So we have a really robust scheduling system where we have to prove probable cause. That means we have to have a reason for why we did an inspection. With that, we also respond to fatalities, imminent dangers, serious injuries, and complaints. We do a number of fatalities. We do about 20 on a year. We do about 30 serious injuries a year. We do about 300 complaints a year to 400. And lately, we were seeing an increase in imminent dangers with the amount of cell phone and technology that is out there, people taking pictures, so we're responding to that. We do that with 50, roughly, staff out there every day. When we go into, and we're going to call this general industry here for our standpoint, we respond both on a programmed inspection. You know, that would be, it's coming up on one of our scheduling lists, we're going to inspect you, or we get a complaint or a referral or something like that, and we would certainly do that. When we break that down in these types of musculoskeletal disorders, we're really looking at what we call using the general duty clause, okay, and that says free from recognized hazard. And when we start breaking that down, that hazard has to be recognized that we can issue an enforcement action against. That's either the industry has recognized it, or unfortunately there's a number of complaints on a specific accident there. And that's the downside to using general duty, is now we have people hurt, and then we're issuing a citation based upon that, and then we have to provide the feasible abatement to that. Where, you know, the representative talked about the safe patient handling, that was something, you know, you saw in healthcare a number of years ago, has really helped us with a tool. It gives us something to say ahead of time, let's look at these things. Healthcare industry, it's back injuries, it's lifting, it's all of this. We can use technology, we can use lifts, those types of things. And it really made a robust conversation for both us as the enforcement agency, but also the business community and the workers. And we're all here to protect workers. That's what we really want. That's where something like this would really help us to get more of our programmed and dialogue into these companies to say, how do we create this atmosphere to where we can get some wins before we get there, and help our consultation unit, help our enforcement unit, and ultimately help our workers across the state of Minnesota.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I certainly won't take too much of the committee's time, but I do want to address, since I asked the question to Mr. Krueger. So is your department aware of the concerns and complaints and the hardships that the workers are having at Amazon? And if so, have you visited that site?
You know, I don't have that data with me today. You know, with that, from that standpoint, I'm not aware of any programmed inspections that we've done, but again, I don't have that data with me. If we did receive a complaint, that type of thing, we would have responded to or a referral, but I don't have that with me today.
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, one more question, yes. Well, maybe it's a comment and question that after a year of hearing the concerns of how one warehouse company is treating its employees, they didn't know about it or weren't aware of it or contacted, which we certainly don't understand. You shouldn't just know through osmosis. There should be a policy in place. So it is should be disturbing to the whole committee that the good folks who are working here, who testified with legitimate concerns, the very organization that we have in the state of Minnesota to oversee worker safety, has not even been notified or aware. But instead, we decide to bring a bill in that takes a sledgehammer to all other industries when we really want to pick at one particular industry that's not treating its employees well. And for those reasons, we have a lot of concerns. Because we have heard, and I'm sure I hope you have as well, Mr. Chair, and your committee, concerns from other companies and other warehouses and other industries that are doing great things for their employees, treating them like their best friends and relatives, and yet this particular legislation could really affect their bottom line, the way they work, their cost, and their way to deliver goods to Minnesotans, and harmful to their company, their employees. So I think we need to reconsider what we're doing with Dolly and labor and industry if they're not aware of companies abusing their employees.
Representative Wolgamott.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And first, I want to say thank you, Representative Greenman, for bringing this bill forward. We've got to give workers the information they need to be safe and successful on the job. And I want to thank each of the testifiers for sharing their stories so that we can see firsthand how important this legislation is needed. I think it's a good bill. I fully support it, and I think it's going to make a difference for workers in Minnesota. We can have, you know, great bills, right? But if they're not enforced, they don't do anybody any good. So that's why I appreciate what you have here in Section 1, Subdivision 6, talking about enforcement. And I'm wondering, Representative Greenman, if you could just elaborate a little bit more on how this is going to be enforced. I know we have the appropriation of $240,000 in fiscal year 2024, $218,000 in fiscal year 2025. What are those dollars exactly going to go towards to empower this law and make sure that it is enforced and that these workers get the protections that they need?
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Wolgamott, for the question. So, folks, if you're not familiar, these sections, what it does is adds the enforcement structure that we currently have in MN OSHA, and so it's the same penalties and enforcement structure. It also allows for individuals who have this information, if they're to enforce their own rights. And so which is an important piece of the pie. The other piece it does, and I think it has a provision, if you'll look, that allows MN OSHA to go in and look at warehouses that are 30% on average higher than the averages in incidence rates relative to the warehouses. And I think I may ask OSHA Director Kruger to explain how that can be helpful in enforcing this provision, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kruger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. From that standpoint, when, you know, in getting ready for this bill and looking at how we would do this in the future, and this isn't something we currently do, we would go to what's called the ITA, Injury Tracking Application, that is on the Federal OSHA website. We would look to these NAICS codes. We would come down and pull those out with 30% and above. From that, we would schedule inspectors to go out and do this. And that's why the fiscal note is in there, is to do that research that we currently don't do from that. We have other ways of doing it, but then also to have our compliance people going out there and checking exactly to this statute.
Representative Wolgamott.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Representative Greenman, for, again, for this bill and for your answer. And thank you for the time, Mr. Chair.
The next person I have is Representative Jordan. She said, Representative Hussein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to thank you, first of all the testifiers who came out forward. And many of my colleagues might not understand, you know, in the warehouse and do not understand. Maybe they haven't worked in there in the past, but I do have a lot of my community who has been working there. And no one should never, ever feel unsafe for the workplace. And I believe we need to respect fairly wage, sick pay, and dignity for those people that are working in the warehouse, regardless where you're working at, the hospital or clinics, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're driving a taxi car, whether you're doing an Uber, we should respect employees. It's an employee. And that's why I want to thank Amy Greenman, who bring this great bill looking forward. And we need to protect all Minnesota regardless. We have seen the testifiers that I have participated in the nursing. This is very similar to that situation. And I urge all my colleagues to look forward to this great bill and support for those community that voiceless. Thank you, Madam Greenman, for bringing this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Hussein. The next person on my list is Representative Myers. Question.
Thank you, Chair Nelson and Representative Greenman. Thank you to all the testifiers coming as well. A little bit I'm going to touch on what Representative Wolgamott and you guys discussed, as well as Mr. Kruger, right? You had talked about that 30%. I'm, you know, in that subsection 5. I'm just interested if you have any more information how that 30% number came about.
Mr. Kruger, Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will start with how the number came about. Is your question about why we set it at 30, or is your question about how it would be implemented by OSHA?
Myers. Why it was at 30.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe, and we did a ton of work on setting that in the last year, and other states have looked at that, as that is really, when we look at the average is going to be pulled up by high injury rate, big warehouses. So it's already a higher than average, because if you think about, like, let's take Amazon, for instance. Amazon's in that pool that sets the average, so it's already going to be a higher average. I think what we think is about 30% is where we really can deduce that it is the model, and that there's something happening that's not just an anomaly, it's not just, you know, a little bit higher a year because something happens, but that 30% really is a number that says that there is a model that is hurting people. If you are interested in digging into the 30%, I am happy to continue having that conversation. But I think that we think, you know, it's not 10%, it's 30%, which really shows that there's an injury rate that that can't be ignored.
Representative Myers.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since the focus of this testimony and the committee is Amazon, is there someone from Amazon that could come down and testify?
I don't see anyone jumping up. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Krueger, in state law already we have, an eight-hour day. Each employee is required to have, what, a one-hour lunch break? Or is it a half-an-hour lunch break and 2 15-minute breaks? Can you clarify that, please?
Mr. Krueger.
Mr. Chair and Representative, I apologize. I'm the OSHA Enforcement Director. I don't deal with labor standards, so.
I believe you're right, Representative McDonald, that it's like that. I think Representative McDaniels, or Daniels, do you got?
I think I have an answer, Mr. Chair.
Representative Daniels.
I worked at Northern Tool Equipment for 17 years, and both as a service technician, and then I worked my way up to warranty administrator. But 17 years of under Northern Tool Equipment, it's minimum of a half hour break for lunch, and ours were 2 10-minute breaks, in one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and but other employers, my wife gets a, you know, hour long break with 2 15-minute breaks. So it varies. I think the minimum is 30 minutes for lunch and 10 minutes per break for two breaks.
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Daniels. I'm just surprised, and I hope the committee is as disappointed as I am that Dolly, who has many employees, and not that, Mr. Krueger, thank you for coming as well, that doesn't have one representative here to answer the questions on a very important bill, a very important issue, that not one person, Dolly, who oversees all the health and safety of our workers. So it's disappointing. So if you're listening somehow, Mr. Chair, if you could share the disappointment, I hope that you are as well, are disappointed that they can't be here to listen to the workers and their concerns, who it appears that this particular employer is in violation of state law. So the thought that we need another law to say this, your law, Representative Greenman, says an employee or group of employees is assigned or required to perform at a specified productivity speed, or performing quantified number of tasks, or handling produce, a qualified amount of material, or perform without a certain number of errors or defects as measured as the individual group or level has defined time period. To think that we in government knows all about the industries in general warehouse and storage, merchant wholesalers and durable goods, merchant wholesalers, non-perishable goods, electronic shopping, mail order housing, and couriers and express services. I think there's a flaw here that this bill would just, in a big, overwhelming, with one big paintbrush, pass laws and legislation that deals with so many other employers, and we know nothing about their particular businesses. So I think that's where it's flawed personally, and for those reasons I'm out. But I do think that Dolly should be notified that they should be here to answer the questions. We should care about those.
As I said earlier, Representative McDonald, right now they are testifying in the Senate on a similar bill. So there, unfortunately, that the Senate and the House, our labor committees meet at the same time.
Mr. Chair, I recognize that, but that's a big commission. There's a big agency there.
There's an agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative McDonald. And I look forward to working with you when we see the OSHA compliance bill and we see the work that I think we all want to do to ensure that, you know, I think if you heard OSHA Director Kruger say that they have 50 investigators for the entire state for every industry. So I hope that means that you're interested in thinking about how we can make sure that, that MnOSHA and the Department of Labor have what they need to enforce all of our standards. This year. And I don't know, Mr. Chair, if you want me to do closing or if we're still doing questions.
One more question. Okay. Representative Berg, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's less a question and more of a thank you, Representative Greenman, for bringing this forward. Thank you, testifiers, for being brave enough to sit here today in front of people that you don't know, that don't have the same experience as you, and explain what you're going through. And Representative McDonald, I'm really sad that you're out because I almost fell in love with you a little bit for your passionate defense of workers. I want to say that I've been in the labor movement for over two decades, and one of our guiding principles is that there is dignity in all work. And I don't see dignity happening here. I see people that are considered disposable. Let me say that again. Human beings that are considered disposable. I don't want any of us sitting here today to have to go back to our communities and explain why we voted against human beings. I want to thank you, Representative Greenman, for making us aware of the largest company in the world exploiting their workers because they can. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Pretty sure you've heard that somewhere from your parents to your school to your somewhere in your life. So let's remember that this bill is about human beings. It's not about what department isn't here, what business is going to somehow suffer from this. The people that are suffering are the human beings sitting here in front of us today. So thank you, Representative Greenman and Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald.
Yeah, I'd like to just have one last word. Thank you, Representative. I am passionate and upset at hearing from about one employer in our in our state, and the fact that we already have laws in place that protects the safety and well-being of the worker and their families, and that's not being done should be upsetting. So, should I not support this bill today, Representative Greenman? It's not because I'm not for the worker. I'm upset that A, Amazon's treating its employees like this, and that one person from Amazon's here, and that Dolly and MOSHA is not even aware of it after we've testified over a year ago, that's upsetting. So I'm fighting for the worker, and I'm also upset about our own industry, our own agencies that seems to not be doing the job. And if I am wrong, come and see me in my office, Commissioner of Labor and Industry and OSHA. So we are all for the workers, but this bill doesn't do that because it evidently OSHA and labor and industry isn't enforcing the laws or not even notified it anyway. Mr. Chair, thank you.
Representative Greenman, if you want to wrap up and then we can get to a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I want to start by saying that this bill was brought to me by those workers. They came both with their experiences, but they also said what they needed. And I want to remind you what this bill does, because we've had a lot of conversations. What this bill does is say, if there's a company, if there's a warehouse company that's going to hold you to a quota, going to hold you to having to complete a set of tasks, do it in a certain amount of time, they have to tell you what that quota is, and they have to give you the data that they're tracking, or they can't fire you for it. That's all this bill does. So what we're saying is that that workers have the information that says they know how much, what they're being expected to do, and that that has to be provided, and they have the ability to enforce it. And the reason that that does that is what you heard from workers today is part of the strategy. We've seen this 100 years ago on the line, speed up, right? People don't know exactly how much they're being expected to. They have communicating with an app. They are afraid of getting fired and losing their livelihood for their kids and their families. And what we are, this is a modest bill. I think you heard a lot of issues that we need to deal with. But this bill, what this bill does is say workers have the ability to know what's being expected of them, and that Amazon, the company, or any other company that's going to hold someone to a quota that they're going to potentially fire you for, has to give you that data and has to ensure that those quotas don't interfere with other legal rights you already have. That's what this bill does. So I want to talk a little bit and address what you said, Representative McDonald, about how this is just one company. Because I think I said it before, but when we are talking about the largest company on the planet that is rapidly expanding their footprint in Minnesota, it will not just be Amazon if we don't act. Because this is not just a one-off thing that's happening at the Shakopee warehouses. It's not even just a one-off model that's happening in Minnesota. It's happening all over the country, and it is about extracting profits from the work and the speed of workers. Right now, the average worker in Amazon makes $17 an hour. I wonder if you can guess how much Jeff Bezos made last year. $100 billion. It is a $217 billion company. And it's not the only company that is looking to make money by squeezing the efforts and squeezing the work out of workers. It is our job in this body and in this state to say if there is an industry that is abusing workers, if there is a new technology and a new algorithmic quota or technology or surveillance that is hurting people, we should learn about it, we should listen, and we should update our laws. We have not done that. We did not do that last year when we heard this bill. This is our opportunity. And so I absolutely agree. We need to make sure that our current laws on the books are being enforced, and we need to make sure that our enforcement agencies have the resources they need and the support they need to do that. But right now we're talking about a problem that is created because of a vast surveillance network that is being created because, as you heard, people are being treated by robots, bosses are being replaced by apps, and Amazon in Seattle is setting quotas that they're not telling folks about on a daily basis. It's changing for workers. And so it's our job here to protect those workers, to listen to them, and to say when we see something that is hurting people, we're going to learn about the model, and then we're going to change our laws. We haven't changed our laws since 2007. It was a very different industry, but we took that step. And so I hope that as we think about how we're going to do this together, we're listening to workers, we're responding, but we are acting, because it's not just our workers who are being hurt. It's our communities, it's our taxpayers, as we think about the fact that the average age of injured workers in Amazon is 34. We're thinking about long-term disability. And so there's a whole bunch of interests that we have as lawmakers to fix this problem, and this is one modest step to do it. So with that, I'd ask for your support here today, and I think I would renew my motion for House File.
As amended.
And renew my motion as amended for House File 36 to be re-referred to Judiciary and Civil Law Finance.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Greenman, for your words. They have moved me to request a roll call for this vote.
Roll call has been requested. We'll take a roll call. Sheets.
Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Vice Chair Berg?
Aye.
Berg, aye. Lead McDonald?
No.
McDonald, nay. Representative Daniels?
Nay.
Daniels, nay. Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Greenman, aye. Representative Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Representative Hussein?
Aye.
Hussein, aye. Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Jordan, aye. Representative Koslowski?
Aye.
Koslowski, aye. Representative Mecklen?
Nay.
Mecklen, nay. Representative Myers?
Nay.
Myers, nay. Representative Wolgamott?
Aye.
Wolgamott, aye. There being eight ayes to four nays, the ayes prevail.
Yeah, eight ayes and four nays, the motion prevails. The bill is on its way to civil law and judiciary. Members, any other? See nothing. Nothing left on our agenda. Representative McDonald.
Just curious when the next meeting will
our
be.
Next meeting is next Tuesday at our normal time,
okay,
which is 1 o'clock, right here. And with that, members, nothing else before us. We are adjourned.